Please welcome me, super funny, very nice man, Brian Chenoweth.
Thank you, Tom. Yes.
Did you ever see him on the season premiere of The Office?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
You and my mom. So, yeah, God, bad job stories are sad. I'm like, I'm sort of reeling from, wow. Okay, so when Tom asked me, when he invited me to tell, to join this and tell bad job stories, I did what I do, which is, you know, follow rules. And for me, I had to sit down and think, okay, how do I talk about, you know, the bad jobs in my life? So I did a cluster exercise, which, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a writing exercise. Which actually my sister teaches her third graders in Hollywood, Florida. She's a third grade teacher. You know, you write in the middle of a piece of paper the idea that you want to expound upon, and then you sort of like, you know, with little lines and other circles, you sort of, you know, that reminds me of this and that, blah, 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 blah. So, and then Tom said, well, that would be a nice thing to share with everyone. So... I follow rules and instructions, I said, I agree. I said, okay, then let's share with the audience my cluster. So don't worry, I'm not going to cover everything. It's just sort of a suggestion of, you know, what that bad job did to me when I was thinking about them. So what is a good job anyway? Yeah, I always think a good job is what you have. A bad job is what I have. So anyway, I'll just touch on a couple little early jobs, and then we'll get to the interesting story. Well, I hope it's interesting. It's interesting to me. So as probably all of you, I started with the regular fare, lawn mowing. Which was a bad job for me because I was horribly allergic to cut grass. So I would have puffy eyes and coughing and sneezing, and this was in the early to mid 70s, so I had like, you know, I would listen to music with, and the, you know, they were like this bit, I looked like Princess Leia, do you remember this? And then I would listen to, you know, songs like, Freak Out! That's how old I am. Did the math. And then there's, you know, babysitting. Of course, I did the babysitting thing. And, you know, and I write here, this is before we knew what shaken baby syndrome was, but even as a kid, I worried. I was such a worrier as a kid. And so even as a kid, I had it in my head that somehow I might, in trying to care for a baby too much, might shake it too. Retardation or something. I don't know. Anyway, that's just something that I thought about when I thought about that. So anyway, my first official job where I actually had to fill out the W-4 form was the AMC movie theater in Orange Park, Florida, when I was in high school, and I was the concession stand manager, and this was in the summer. The summer they released DC Cab and Jaws 3D. So I was in charge of the concession stand, and my staff were the Raiderettes, which was the Orange Park High School drill team. Basically, they were popular, and I was not. So I did all the work, because they wanted to talk, and they didn't want to break nails and stuff. And since I follow rules, and I was not going to, you know, tell popular people what to do, I did all the work. And so as if that wasn't bad enough, that was also the summer that the general manager of the AMC theater decided that to push more concessions, it would be good to have a cart go up and down the aisles. And since I was the concession stand manager, and of course the Raiderettes weren't going to do that because geeks do that, I did it. So I got to go up and down the aisles, and all the kids in summer, you know, saw me. Would you guys want some popcorn and a large Coke? And so that was a bad job. And, oh yeah, and I wrote monkey suit because I had to wear a vest and a bow tie. So. Oh, that was also the first time I got stoned that summer. That was not bad. That was good. Then there was, you know, there's table waiting. You know, I'm an actor. I did that. My first job was at TGI Fridays. That And I was such a big geek. I mean, it's hard not to be a geek at TGI Fridays because you have to wear suspenders and kooky hats, they said, and bring buttons. You want me to wear buttons. But I was even geekier than that because I took it so seriously. I actually made flashcards to learn the food codes. I still remember 10 was tomato. So, like, if you were ordering something and you wanted tomato on it, you'd punch in 10. Still remember that. Flashcards, they work. I worked at the Howard Johnson's, I just remember that. It was called the Sea Grill, but it was the restaurant at the Howard Johnson's. And I just remember they had cheap lobster. So I was, you know, everyone was like, oh, you want to work at a place where the food's really expensive, but not here. And I don't know if you've ever waited tables, lobster is like the highest maintenance food thing it's like tons of trash. But this was cheap lobster, so I didn't make any food. And all I remember from that job was that I used to eat clam chowder every night and then get a horrible bellyache. And my friend Vicky would always remind me, you're lactose intolerant. Bad job. And then, I worked at this place called Johnny's, which I believe maybe had some mob ties. I'm not really sure. And I just remember one time, I always thought this was so funny. This was a nice kind of upscale restaurant. But somebody asked me one time if they could have the shrimp cocktail fried. Which I thought was really funny, so I thought, I'm going to ask the chef. He'll get such a kick out of it. So I said, hey, you know, to the chef, I said, can I get the shrimp cocktail fried? And he chucks a spatula at me. Another bad job. I was a PA at the Tribeca Film Center in New York once, and they asked me to draw, and I actually did this. I drove a 14-foot Hertz flatbed rented truck all around Manhattan in the middle of a workday to pick up thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of camera equipment for some, you know, independent film. And I had some college kids that sort of helped me with this. I sideswiped a city bus. I had to sign away for all this stuff. Like, I'd go to these places and they'd load in all this camera equipment, and then like some guy in the loading dock would be like, you want to make sure all that's there? I don't know what a light and a camera, and I had no idea. I just like, sure, it's all good. Yeah. Anyway, that was a bad job. So you get an idea of, like, you know, where I was coming from. So this leads up to the famous people are involved in this one. So this will be fun, hopefully fun. So when I finished college, I went to the Burt Reynolds Institute for Theater Training, which was a school. You've heard of it. Burt Reynolds had a school in Florida, which was attached to a dinner theater for many years. And I decided, you know, I'll either go to grad school or I'll go to the Burt Reynolds thing. And the Burt Reynolds audition came up first, and I got in, so I didn't go to grad school. I went to Burt Reynolds and was an apprentice/student thing. And being an apprentice at the Burt Reynolds dinner theater, it was a year-long thing, and you took classes, but you also it involved many odd jobs. You know, like doing the laundry. And I remember one funny job was, Burt ran this theater like a movie set. So it was actually really nice for actors who would come in from New York to do shows because it was unlike other theater experiences. But I didn't know this because I had never done theater. I just graduated from college. So my jobs early on was to go around to the actors' dressing rooms, like when a new cast would come in on, like, opening night, and ask them what they wanted for their refrigerators. What do you need stocked in your... And these actors would be like, what? I'd be like, well, do you want juice or Perrier or... That was an odd job. So I had these odd jobs, and I was an apprentice, and then I graduated from the Burt Reynolds Institute for Theater Training, and, you know, left and went to New York. But through the years, I would audition and come back and do shows at the theater. Well, so many years later, I went, Burt sold the theater. They went under, probably too much stuff in the mini fridges. So the theater went under, and he sold it to another producer. I happened to be doing the last show of the Burt Reynolds Dinner Theater. It was a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, and I was playing one of the adorable, cute Proteans. That wasn't a bad job, though. That was a job. Here we are. You know, it's been like 12 years of this great school and this wonderful theater and everything. And on the final night, they're going to have this big gala, this big party, And, you know, they're going to celebrate 12 years of the Burt Reynolds Institute for Theater Training and the Burt Reynolds Jupiter Theater. And so we do the show that night, and then after the show we do this big gala benefit where we do scenes and songs from 12 years of productions on the Burt Reynolds Jupiter stage. And everyone in the show has a little bit to do in the show, and other people have come in, and the place is packed to the walls. The Burt Reynolds Jupiter Theater had these celebrity boxes that Burt had built into the theater, and they were like chock full of all Burt's, you know, friends, movie, TV friends and stuff, and all three of the local news stations were there with their cameras in the back, and it was just, every seat was taken. And then, as we would do our little bit in the little gala after we had done the show that night, we would go back and we'd put on our dress clothes and we'd go out and watch the rest of the gala and find a place to sit on the floor or something. So I did my little bit in the show and I put on my blazer and my dress shirt and my penny loafers and I went out and I sat in the aisle. There weren't any seats and I was sitting. And so the evening goes along. It's really great, like tearful and exciting and fun and whatever. And so they get to the very end of the evening and Bert is obviously the last person to talk. And he gives this very impassioned speech about, you know, what a great, you know, 12 years it's been, and thank you everyone for the support and blah, blah, blah. And it's just beautiful and nice. And then right before he leaves the stage, he says, you know, with all the hubbub this week, with the closing of the theater, I have so much to do, and I neglected to do something very important. So if I could just take 1 minute to do this one thing. And he looks up at one of those celebrity boxes and he says, today is Lonnie's birthday. Now this is when Bert and Lonnie were dating. They hadn't actually gotten married yet. So Lonnie's up in the booth. It's Lonnie's birthday. And he says, I didn't have an opportunity to get Lonnie a birthday present. So if I could just take a minute. And then he looks out to the crowd and he says, if I could have Brian Chenoweth and Terry Warren come up here, please. Now, Terry Warren was also an apprentice. He was actually an apprentice at the time. Terry Warren is also the apprentice that was rumored later to have had an affair with Lonnie Anderson. But that's another story, and I don't know anything about it. I just thought it might be interesting for you to know that. Terry Warren was also a football player. I think he played professional football, and Bert had seen him sing the national anthem at a football game and said, hey, you want to be an apprentice at my school? So Terry was an apprentice. He was also an adorable, cute protean in Funny Thing Happened on the Way Before. Anyway, so Terry and I had no idea what was going on, and we were obviously very nervous, and what is he doing? And, you know, but, you know, when Bert beckons you to the stage, So we both walk up on the stage, and, you know, and Bert has his arms, you know, he's a good old boy. So he's got his arms around us. Terry's obviously more comfortable with Bert than I am. I'm, you know, shitting my pants. I'm like, what am I doing up here? I've never been that chummy with Bert through the years. He's always been very kind to me. But anyway, he says as he's standing there with his arms around us, he says, Lonnie's favorite song is When You Wish Upon a Star. And then he turns to Terry and he says, Terry, would you sing that song? Terry, who has a beautiful voice, smiles and says, sure. And then he turns to me and he says, and Brian?
Oh, no.
Would you dance to it? So, I don't know if I nodded or said yes, but Bert walks off the stage. Terry goes to confer with the orchestra pit, because there was one. He goes to confer, get a note or something. And I'm, you know, I slip off my blazer, and I take off my penny loafers. I do remember this, and I took it over to the side of the stage, and I laid it on whatever was there. And then I returned, and Terry gave me a look, and Terry, a cappella, starts singing quite beautifully. When you wish upon... And then... I'm not... not exactly sure what happened. Okay, it's a slow song. I'll give this. I was in the chorus of MAME. I was in the chorus of the Unsinkable Molly Brown. I've done my share of Corrine dancing, but I never considered myself a dancer. But that's besides the fact. I mean, anyway. So I sort of, to be quite honest with you, I think there was some long flow, you know, I don't know, lines, maybe some pointed feet. I don't know, but for the most part, I blanked out. I will say this, that during my experience of this party, because of course there was this huge party right after that, my entire experience of this party was, everyone was happy and laughing and champagne, and this was my whole experience of this party, like, you'll be me and I'll be everyone else at this party. So everyone's laughing and then they see me. It's all like, oh, God. So, about 2 years after this, I'm doing stand-in work on some Burt Reynolds movie. He had this mini movie of the week series for a while, and he was shooting it down in South Florida, and I don't know, I was in the neighborhood, and I got some stand-in work. So I was doing the stand-in work, and they were actually shooting, I don't know, somewhere up in Jupiter, Florida, where this theater was. Dom DeLuise, who's a good friend of, Dom DeLuise, another famous person in the story, who is, I guess, a big good friend of Bert's, who I actually had never met. We did meet lots of famous, fun people during our year, but I never met Dom DeLuise. He never came around. Was directing this particular movie. So one day I'm sitting, like, having my lunch, and Dom is sitting across from me at some table or something, and he says, "You look familiar." And I said, "Well, no, I actually never met you. You know, you never were around during my years, but, you know, so you probably are mistaking me for somebody else." "No. No, I'm sure I know you." "No, you couldn't possibly." And he said, "Wait a minute, didn't you do the dance thing the last night?" And I know that Dom was not there that night. And I said, "Yes, I did, but you weren't there that night." And he said, "I know, but I saw the tape at Bert's house last night." Now, for those of you who've done theater, I mean, come on. When have you ever seen a videotape of some theater production, especially some impromptu gala after a show, where the quality was good enough to sort of, like, make somebody out that you don't even know? But apparently, there is a tape of this, whatever it was that I did, floating around, and Bert likes to slap it in and show his friends. Apparently, the quality is good enough that you can make out my face and all that I did. So, anyway, that's my bad job story. Copies of the tape are available for sale.